guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. And I feel like I've just been lucky lately because we've had a whole bunch of people who were like my time in the club and listening to music, and I'm still rocking in the car. And today is no different, except they're coming back together after 25 years. Tony's coming back together, but Rafael Sadiq's been doing his thing, and he joins us on The Pulse. How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing real well. I appreciate taking the time out because you're actually at rehearsal, like doing your thing right now. You guys are on tour, just getting started.
Yeah, today is the first day of like production. We're in Charlotte, North Carolina right now. But I'm not at the venue right now. I'm just actually in the hotel room getting ready to go.
Okay. It's been a minute. It's interesting because there's a lot of talk about it's 25 years since Tony, but you never really stopped kind of producing and writing and performing. So does it have that same symbolic nature to you? Is it as big a case to you as it is for all of us?
Oh, yeah, it's a big deal for me because, it's playing the music that it's like going back home, right? So it's nothing like home, even with all the things I've done. Nothing can really top where you started if you can go back and do it at on a different level. I feel like we're doing it at a different level than we did in the beginning. So it's a big deal for me, too.
25 years coming back together, you got a chance with all of this different success to kind of sit back and look at it. Then versus now, did you realize what a big impact you guys were having, what a big deal it was, or is it easier to sit back and enjoy it now?
I think it's easier to sit back and enjoy it now. I think when we were doing it, so many, overnight sensations or one-hit wonders, and you have all those, all of those concerns, if that's your concern at all. It was a huge concern for me. I didn't really want to be that. And so many people came that were, so gifted and talented before us, I knew we had a lot to endure. We was climbing on a lot of people's shoulders who came before us. So I knew we had a job to do. We had a responsibility. As Sidney Poitier would say, he would say all the time to me, like to everybody he met, he would say, you have a responsibility. And I always felt that we had a responsibility to a lot of people before us and after us. So that was one of my concerns all the time. So it's a better look now.
Even then, I mean, you got into this very young, but even when you were touring back then, you're young. You owned the responsibility that you had even at that point?
Oh, yeah. Before I got into the industry, I was always pretty much felt some responsibility from my teachers at school, from my music teachers, people that was giving us guidance and, telling us what the real world was like, after high school and how things were going to change. And if we do get into the music industry, what sort of things to look out for. So I've always had, an eye on that part of it. Even from this first deal we signed, I was pretty much looking at everybody kind of sideways and at the label, like, you're the bad people. And, And then, I have friends like Q-Tip who wrote the song, like I said, the record industry was shady. And so all these things that I thought about, and they weren't all shady. They were nice people, but it's just to say I did have one eye open all the time that was just about the responsibility of making music and treating it like a 9-to-5 job. I didn't go to college. I didn't go get any degrees. And I didn't have a 401k. I knew that. I knew this is something that I could do and next year could be all over and I just be, walking around talking to people about when I made that one record. I just never wanted to be that person.
Wow. It's when you talk to people and you hear those stories, it's always interesting because I felt like you're making the music and I'm out in the club with the overalls with just like one strap on the shoulder and the paisley shirt and trying to dance. In my head, you guys were having at least as much fun as I was. It had to be fun too. You just had the one eye open.
Oh, I had the fun. I mean, I'm still, I'm still, I think I just bought some overalls like about 6 months ago, and I still flipped off the one thing trying to look like old dirty. After I watched the Wu-Tang, I said, oh, I remember I was rocking that. That's kind of cool. And I'm always going to have fun like that, but I know how to, you know, mix it. You have to know how to go to the party and shake hands. You have to know when to leave. You know, that was my whole thing. You can have some fun, but you just got to know when to leave.
So what made you, coming back together, I talked about the historic nature, and you've had a lot of success in music and movies and producing, working with, you know, biggest names. But you said that coming back together, you know, that's family. It's like coming back home. So why now? Why was it the time to do it now?
I mean, we're all, you know, we all here. We all living healthy and able, and the music is very sustainable. You know, it's a lot of people sampling our music right now. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like it's a good time. We're in a position where we all have like places where we can record and rehearse. So we don't really need anything from anybody really. So I was like, hey man, let's put it together. We don't really need anybody. We can, you know, I just said, let's get together and take some pictures and say we touring. And I actually put the first picture out myself. I shot it in my studio, my warehouse. And I had a lot of the clothes there already. And I was like, let's put these clothes on and designed it how we should look again. And I just posted it and it just caught fire. I said, see, there it is. You know, if we could put it together and make it look like it should look, sound like it should sound, it's the time. It's all time, and it's the perfect storm when we all have good sense still, you know? So I feel like it was good timing. It was nothing really deep or anything. I just knew how the energy was. And it's always felt like if you're in school, you should do better than your teachers, right? They should teach you. If you're a mentor, you should do better than your teachers. They should be that good of a teacher so that you go out there and do better. And I felt, you know, we had some pretty good mentors and different people. And I wanted to outlast the people who signed us. You know, executives that sign you, they really sign you thinking that, you know, you pretty much got 1 or 2 years in the business.
Right.
I'm not saying they wishing that on you or nothing like that, but that's really how it goes. These kids are signing deals. These executives don't really care about them. They just, you know, they're just making money off of them for a couple of years and good luck, kid. And I felt like we did it. We beat everybody that was an executive. We're here. They don't have jobs. We still got jobs.
So it sounds like, and we said the whole industry wasn't shady, but it sounds like even as a young person to this day, you kind of were in it with this message that I need to leave something lasting. I need to change the industry. And now you've been in the industry long enough. Have you seen it change?
Oh, yeah, I've definitely seen it change. I mean, the way you sign groups now is different. I mean, you sign Stevie Wonder because he was talented. Now you sign people because they have a ton of followers. So it's pretty much different from just that point of view. But it was always going to be a change. You know, nothing stays the same. I welcome all the changes that the industry has from, you know, digital to analog. But I'm still pretty much an analog guy and a little bit of digital. But I mean, you got to be able to live in both worlds. But that's what's different about it. It's not what it used to be. And nothing is. I mean, in every aspect of living, everything changed. But then you still have people like Lucky Day and her, and just to name a couple, Anderson .Paak and Thundercat.
Just solid musicians.
Steve Lacy, you know, you still have these very upper echelons musicians that's really making a huge dent in the industry. So it just matters whatever, you know, whatever turns you on. You know, whatever turns you on. And so I don't mind it that half of the industry was signed somebody like Sexy Red, right? But then somebody else was signed Steve Lacy. So that's pretty much normal in the world, you know. I mean, we were out, but there was also a Luke out, right? You had Luke. So that part of it, I don't think is that much different. I just think the way we get music now is kind of crowded. You know, it's really crowded. Back in the day, when you make a record, you put the record out. Now you put a record out, they call it a mixtape. And, you know, it's not, they don't take the chance on putting a record out until they put out like 3 mixtapes, and they're really testing the waters. In the industry I was in, when they signed you, 9 out of 10, you were pretty much going to come out with a record.
It feels like somebody, though, in looking at the industry then versus the industry now, somebody like you has always done, again, the producing, the writing, the different shows. So the one thing about the industry now is it can be very independent. You got several million followers on social if you want, so you can do your own thing. You don't have to wait for the industry. For someone like you, it sounds like that would be a really positive thing.
Oh, that's very positive. I mean, I love that for industry, that you can be someone who just puts your music up and you let people decide. But I just think it just has to be a bigger wave. When they do find you, they should have to pay a lot more just because they didn't believe in you in the beginning. You know, it should be, or else you should just stay independent. But it's hard for people to stay independent when somebody's offering you this huge bag.
Is the industry stuff, I read, and correct me if I was wrong. So when you talk about the fact that you went out, did your solo career, but that was family. Like Tony is your family. And so when that stuff happens, there's a lot of people who are like, oh, there must be something going on. There must be drama. And I read one of the quotes that you were like, actually went solo because you wanted to keep your family together. Like the industry was messing around. Did I read that right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I left because it was going to destroy us as a family. So I said, you know, well, I'm going to leave. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do. So I was like, I guess I'll do another group, which is Lucy Pearl. Mm-hmm. So if I didn't go solo, if I was going to be a solo singer, I wouldn't have left the group and did another group, right? So, I left because, it was getting sloppy. And but once we weren't together, I wasn't in the group. I told my brother, I said, well, you know what? I think we probably lost a lot of money, but I still got you as a brother, which is more important to me.
It is always, again, when you hear these stories, those are the types of stories that people want to hear and that people can keep it in its proper perspective. But the music and the behind the scenes and the money, that tears people up.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Oh, yeah, that is definitely the pandemic. That is the Achilles of all the evil. One of my friends always say the money is the root of all evil, and that's when she gets it, she just spend it all.
All right, so we're getting ready to tour. You're going to be in Philly, actually, September 28th at the Met. Nice venue, chance to kind of, it's big, but it's an intimate venue. What are we going to expect? Because there's a whole library of music from you to Tony and to Lucy Pearl. What are we going to see?
We're gonna touch a lot on some of the Lucy Pearl, some of, you know, my stuff, and a lot of the Tony's, you know, some of the things that we've done, like a house of music we never performed. I think I left in 96 after that album. So we get a chance to play a lot of the songs we never toured. So I think what people can expect is the unexpected. The energy is going to be fire. It's going to be some epic things happening musically, arrangements, emotions are going to be flying everywhere. I don't even know Ooh, man, it's going to be hard to hold up sometime because the feeling, the emotion is going to, it's going to run so deep. I don't think we've been not talking about that part of it because I think nobody want to be crying at this age. You know, I don't think we ever cried on the stage before, ever. But you could tell how my brother's talking. Everybody's like, yeah, yeah, looking the other way, you know. But I think, you know, I think it's going to be an emotional time for us with the fans. And I think it'll be a lot of beautiful energy between Philly and the Tonys. You know, like I say, it's nothing like family. It's nothing like home. Like all the accolades I've gotten from working on TV shows and with a lot of different artists, it's the morale. It's the thing that keeps me going because I have this fire energy to make music. I can hear music in my head when I go to sleep. So, you know, it's in you, it has to get out. But when I'm with the Tonys, it's extra special. It's a great feeling, you know, I feel like I'm a coach a little bit because I feel like I'm coaching them a little bit. And they kind of accepted it. They've always accepted it when I was younger, but I was still younger than my brother. But I think now he accepts it. He understands who I really am. Like something that God created, and I ended up being his brother. And then he ended up teaching me, but I ended up like, you know, the things that he taught me, I'm like reminding him of what he showed me. Like, nah, you got to do it like this because that's the way you used to do it. And he's finally getting it, you know. So I'm more like, feel like I'm like this type of, I call myself a point guard. I'm dishing the ball off to people and like, you know, putting people up to the challenge. Like, no, we can't do it like that. This shit ain't funny. We gotta do this. You know, we're going out here to people who buying tickets and who really love us. And let's go out there and like thank them, like really thank them because they made me have a good life. I have a good life because of the fans. It's not because of me. I mean, because I played this music. I didn't know what I was doing. I told my brother this a minute ago. We didn't know what the hell we were doing. I talked to Maurice White. He said he didn't know what he was doing. It just came out. Leon Ware, who produced a lot of Marvin stuff, he was a friend of mine before he passed. And he told me, he said, you think we know what we was doing? Hell no. We just get in the room and it works. And I know it's true because everything we did, I've done, it just happened and I did it for myself. And I'm just so fortunate that the fans actually enjoyed it and liked it and gave us a career enough to buy those records and come to see us and just keep walking with us through everything we've been through. So I think the energy between both is going to be something we all going to share at the same time together.
You can hear, like, you really miss this. I feel like everybody needs to go and see this tour because more than a lot of the things that we've seen or people that I've spoken to, it sounds like we're seeing an authentic emotional reunion. Like, y'all are sharing that with us.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's going to be emotional. It's real. It's just not like, you know, we were all doing pretty good. I didn't have to come back for no money or nothing. I'm good. This is emotional. It's peace. I mean, I handpicked every musician to play with us. I didn't just call some friends. I called people that I knew that was better than me. Everybody that I have playing with me is better than me at what they do.
We don't have a lot of time. I'm asking you a couple more, kind of go quickly, because I know you got a lot to do, and I appreciate you taking this much time, especially as the tour is kicking off. But a couple of the questions that come up when you say to people, hey, I'm talking to Rafael Sadiq and Tony's coming back together. Answer for people once and for all. Nobody in the group's named Tony. Like, where did this come from?
Yeah. It came from this movie, The Untouchables. Andy Garcia, his name was Tony, and his hair was really slicked back. And my brother Dwayne would always put this kind of conk in his hair. His hair was already curly, but he made it really slick. And he said when he go to school on the first day, when the teacher took a roll call, she would never call him Dwayne. She would call him Tony. But she would say it three times because his hair was so processed. That's the name. He's going to tell you some other BS. That's how it came up. And then we played at a wedding reception, just three of us and a friend's wedding reception. And they said, what's the name of the group? And my brother said, Tony. He was just joking. And then when a guy said it back, he was like, ladies and gentlemen, Tony. He was like, oh, it's kind of had a ring to it. And once we got a deal, maybe 2 years later, we kept the name.
So it was a joke that just became a thing.
It was a joke that turned into like a lifelong serious library of like history and music became a serious thing.
Two more as we wrap. There's been a lot. As I was doing research for this, I saw that when you talked to Sway and a couple other groups, and you have talked more than you have in the past. At the whole time, you're out there making everybody smile and playing It Feels Good and all of this music. You were dealing with a lot, you know, in your family, things behind the scene. We don't need to go through all the specifics of it, but you talk about it more now. Like, why are you sharing that there was a lot going on when you were trying to make other people happy?
I guess the reason why I talk about it is because I hear people going through a lot of different things, and it becomes all of their music. You know what I'm saying? You don't really have to do that because, you can wear your heart on your sleeve, but you can use the music in a positive way to try to come from under all of those things. So that's why I talk about it now. And because I always look at people going like, man, I've been through so much. And I just wanted to share with people, like, you know, I'm just don't, because you hear me singing It Feels Good or Let's Get Down, you know, I think I was writing music when I was losing my sister on a life support machine. You know, I was in the studio writing It Never Ends in Southern California. I just have to look back at myself and go, wow, that's a very resilient, you know, of me to be in such an industry and to be making music. And music is so beautiful and so powerful and so strong if you use it in the most positive way you can.
Yeah, I mean, people don't know, 4 siblings lost. Does that make performing with your brother and coming back together that much more special?
Yeah, it makes it special because he's my big bro. He has kids. I'm really close to one of his kids, to 2 of his sons, Dylan and Jaden. Jaden is producing. He works with, you know, he's been around me for the last, he wasn't around my nephew till he was like 14 or 15, but he moved to LA. And I've been with him since he was 15, sort of like, you know, just talking to him. He wanted to meet me and hang out with me. He had never really hung out with me, but he's amazing. He's working with, you know, Frank Ocean, Daniel Caesar, The Weeknd. His brother is doing some amazing production work too. And they never seen their dad play with me. You know, so This is more for the grandkids and the great grandkids. They don't know. They don't even know why people come up to us and go, oh, are you this? They're like, who is he?
Well, if they don't know, they're about to know in just a second.
Yeah.
We end every episode of The Pulse. The concept of use your voice for good is the theme of the show. We ask everybody the phrase, use your voice for good in their life. What does that mean to them?
You asking me that?
I'm asking you, what does use your voice for good mean for you?
I think it means, I mean, I always had this thing, like I always said, if I can make this very short, you know, growing up in church and you see people being preachers and stuff. And I always say, I could never be a preacher or pastor, anything like that. Too much responsibility. But I always said, I would always use my voice to, if someone came up to me and asked me, how did I make it happen? I would always tell God, like it came through my godly energy, my spirit. It had nothing to do with me. I'm just sort of like this bridge to get to me. It just comes through me. And I said, I will always, and it's funny that it always happens. I mean, I'll be walking and some lady will walk up to me with a kid and like, can you talk to my kid about your life and how you got here? And I go, wow, this is like sort of my prayer. So I would say using my voice in the most positive way for parents. If they have a hard time talking to a kid, just having a rough time, I'm probably the person you want to talk to. I could talk to them.
I appreciate your time. I, like so many other people, excited to see this show. Like, we've got to get there and catch you on tour. You're all over the whole country, Philly.
Yes.
September 28th. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, too. Appreciate it.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to The Pulse with Bill Anderson today with Rafael Saadiq. Just for clarity, because we touched on it towards the end of the interview, during his childhood and throughout his career, while he was on stage performing, writing, he lost 4 siblings to tragedy, ranging from a car accident to a drug overdose to violence. And the whole time, he maintained that he was not going to have people define him based on the sadness or the tragedy that existed in his life. So he kept going, writing songs, It Feels Good, and performing things like that. So I appreciate the fact that he touched on that. It was really encouraging to see where he is in his career and the fact that we all get to see a concert coming together after 25 years. So I encourage you to check out YouTube. You could see some past episodes. A lot of good stuff there. I'm sure you will enjoy it. Also, before you go, go to the top of your phone or your computer or tablet, whatever, and hit subscribe, follow, so you get notifications every time there is a new episode of The Pulse. Also, hit me up on social media at BillAFox29. I'd love to hear from you. And I leave you, as I always do, reminding you whenever you can to use your voice for good, and have a good one.